In red tinted light, flying backwards over the Earth's surface, thick golden letters rise over the curve of the planet and form the word Universal in front of the lit up continents. Beneath it, in smaller letters, a Comcast company. Metal hits metal, and golden showers spark. Universal 1440 Entertainment presents.
In ancient Egypt, before the time of the pharaohs, legend tells of King Menten, who made a covenant with Anubis, lord of the underworld, to create a cursed sword so powerful that whoever possessed it could rule the world. Fueled by taking the souls of its enemies, the sword was forged in the fires of hell by the Lord of the Underworld, who gave this sword his very name, the Fang of Anubis. The names of those slain by the sword were forever etched in the Book of Souls, where they remained imprisoned for all eternity, condemned to never-ending darkness. But if evil can be so easily created in a fiery forge, then surely there must be a way to destroy the sword and release the souls.
A man in a mask lifts his head and roars. A 1440 production, in association with Sean Daniel Company for Lane, The Summers Company, Misher Films. Lines of sunlight pierce the darkness as people break through rock from the other side. Stones covering an entire arched doorway are pushed down, and men enter a cavernous chamber carrying flaming torches. They walk down an arched tunnel, and one man with a hard face stops and looks around. A bird on the hand of the person behind him flaps its wings. Two men in front of him put their torches to dark liquid lying in clay grooves in the sand. The channel of flames quickly spreads, lighting up the chamber and a set of steps leading up to an altar. The man, who wears a ring on his little finger, steps forward. His people follow. The short-haired woman holding the eagle looks around tensely. The group walks across the chamber, and the man goes up the steps to the altar.
These hieroglyphs are ancient. It looks like they are from
Mesopotamia. Sumerian.
What do they say, priestess?
The eagle flies off her hand and back out of the entrance. Princess steps up to the altar and puts both hands on it as a long, thin snake slithers across it. She closes her eyes and puts her head back as the snake slides over her trembling, jeweled fingers. She lowers her head again, her whole body shaking. She looks at the snakes as brief images of battle splash up. Princess leans on the altar, struggling to catch her breath.
Here lies the treasure you seek.
King Memdeb.
Before you plunder the antiquities of this tomb, you must know, unleashing this evil that once was will come with a great price.
Power is not given, priestess. It must be taken.
On the man's command, two men walk forward and push back the lid of the altar. A thick white mist wafts within it. The man leans his hands on the edge and looks down into it. He puts one hand forward. He lifts out a beautifully crafted, perfectly preserved, curved sword.
The Fang of Anubis, forgotten to time. But the ages have not dulled your cutting edge, have they?
He grimaces, lowering his head, as the blade turns into glowing, molten metal. The man looks up again, his eyes glowing golden. Standing behind him, Princess lowers her head. The sword glows the same fiery golden color as the man's eyes. The man smiles.
Nebsirek went forth, sweeping across the barren lands with the fang of Anubis at his command. Driven by its dark magic, he conquered his enemies and raised a powerful jackal army, proclaiming himself their god king.
We will cleanse this land with death and fire!
But one enemy eluded him, the last Akkadian. The sole heir to the great free tribe who destroyed his people in a war waged long ago. Branded by vengeance, Nebsirek became obsessed with finding his enemy.
Have your bird find the Scorpion King, Priestess.
The gods will grant you your vengeance in time.
The time for vengeance is now. Send the bird.
Princess orders the eagle, and it flies away.
But some sleeping giants are better left to their slumber.
Title: Scorpion King, Book of Souls. Daytime. Standing in a simple blacksmith's on a hillside, a muscular man with long dark hair takes a curved sword out of the fire and starts shaping it while a boy watches. The man lifts the blade and holds it up.
It's beautiful.
Now it's strong. That's what counts. With this, you can harvest the winter wheat, reap the summer grain, feed your family and livestock. Not much left in this world you can put your faith in, but forged metal, pounded into shape. This you can trust.
He puts the black blade down and hits the orange glowing center.
When will you make a sword?
Done with swords.
I could learn to use one to become a great warrior.
Abel! The man kneels before the boy.
Listen to me, Abel. Being a warrior is not what you think. Swinging a sword in war is a hard burden to bear. No priests or gods can save you from the savagery of battle. Understand?
Abel nods.
Abel!
Go to your father.
Abel hurries out of the blacksmith's and runs away across the dusty ground. The blacksmith looks out at the boy's father, who waves at him. The blacksmith nods. The blacksmith walks through countryside with a bow and arrows. Horses ride across dried, sandy ground. Young Abel bangs a small, flat piece of metal on an anvil and then dips it in water. The blacksmith crouches by some bushes and watches a deer graze. He pulls an arrow from his quiver. Abel admires his flat metal scorpion. A dozen or so riders move fast across a beach on dark horses. In the trees, the blacksmith raises his bow and arrow to take aim. He looks up and spots Princess's eagle. Abel listens. Nebsirek's jackals ride fast and hard. The blacksmith watches the eagle. The jackals charge over the hills, kicking up dust in the sparse green grass. They charge down the hill and into the village, past Abel's workshop, where he watches from the doorway. Abel watches them go past, then runs off. The villagers begin to look round as the jackals approach through a gap in the trees. Abel runs down a different path. The jackals arrive at the start of the village, and the leader, Kensa, a woman with long dark hair tied in plaits, jumps down. Wearing a black leather skirt and bra piece, with armor over one shoulder, she looks around with a confident smile as the eagle lands on a wooden post. Abel's father walks slowly toward her.
I seek the Scorpion King.
We have no king here.
He calls himself Matthias.
We know of no such man.
burn it to the ground and find him. Please, we're just fought.
A sword's put to his throat as Abel arrives.
Kill him first.
No!
A woman sprints forward, but the man beats her aside, knocking her down. He licks his fingers and holds them up to show Abel's father. The blacksmith walks back and stops to stare at the burning village. Abel's father is forced to his knees.
On your knees, insect!
Where is Matthias?
Here I am.
They look round at the blacksmith and step towards him. One of the jackals charges at Matthias with his sword. Matthias uses two curved swords to defend and quickly beats him, hitting him on the head with the handle and kicking him backwards. Another jackal attacks Matthias, who throws him over his shoulder. Matthias spins and attacks a third man, flipping him up into the air. When a group of jackals charge Matthias, he ducks down, then stands to fight them in a circle around him. He takes them out one by one, swinging his swords, holding one man in a lock while fighting another, then throwing him down. Matthias takes on the last two, kicking one down and throwing the other over his back. On Kensa's order, a mounted archer shoots an arrow into Matthias' shoulder, then another. The villagers sit together, cowering and watching as Matthias snaps the shaft of one arrow off, then another. He picks up his sword. More jackals attack Matthias, and one of them kicks him backwards onto the ground. A soldier with a spear attacks him, but Matthias overcomes him. He gets up but is punched down. Abel runs to him. Kensa grabs Abel and throws her sword down, sneering as she pulls a knife.
Let the boy go.
Not one more step.
She puts the knife to Abel's throat. Matthias holds out a hand and drops to his knees.
Spare the boy. Take me.
Kensa stands with her knife to Abel's throat. She looks at Matthias and smiles, then shakes her head.
I'll take both.
No! Matthias crawls across the ground to where Abel lies.
Abel.
He finds the scorpion Abel made.
Abel.
Matthias holds the metal scorpion and looks at it. Kensa watches him and smiles. Matthias looks up at her, and she knocks him out. The small jackal army rides along a path above the coast beneath a blue sky and sunshine. Horses pull a cart with a wooden cage on it, and Matthias inside, his wrists tied to the bars. Kensa rides behind him on a black horse. Later, the procession has stopped, and Matthias lies unconscious in his prison, with blood from his wounds smeared over his chest and on the floor. Kensa walks around the cage and looks in at him. She pushes her sword in and uses the tip of the blade to lift his bearded chin. Matthias's eyes open slightly, and he looks at her. She stares back at him with a hostile smile, then walks away again. Nighttime. The large white moon sits half behind a hillside. Matthias lies unconscious with firelight on his face. Flaming torches flicker around the campfire. A guard with most of his face covered is attacked from behind and quietly dropped to the ground. A woman stands in the darkness behind Matthias, then disappears back into the shadows. She kills another guard. She runs forward and attacks another guard. The cart with the prison cage on it is pulled away by two horses. Matthias remains unconscious in the cage while the woman sits at the front and drops the horses with her whip. When they stop, she chants over fire with sparks rising from it. Matthias lies on the ground in a ring of fire. The woman who saved him mixes up a paste while she chants and applies it to his wounds. Black scorpions crawl out from under rocks around the ring of flames and walk across the circle to Matthias. They walk over his body with embers flying around them. The scorpions' tails curl over and stab him with their poison. Each time, Matthias' body tenses and arches upward. Daytime. Matthias' closed eye squeezes as he comes round on his back. He lifts his head a little, sheltering his eyes from the sun. The woman stands over him and looks down at him. Strong, with long black hair, makeup, and jewelry, she crouches down beside him.
Here, drink this.
She hands Matthias the tall wooden beaker she was stirring.
What is that?
A medicinal tonic mixed with lithips for pain. You're welcome. You need food.
She stands up, and Matthias drinks from the beaker. Then throws it aside. Soldiers practice fighting in a rough, dusty camp with a large round fire pit in the center. A guard stands and watches from above. Nebsirek lies surrounded by women, his eyes glowing red. Princess, who lies sprawled over him, has yellow eyes. Kensa walks up and stands before him.
Scorpion King escaped.
Bend your knee when you speak to me.
She goes down on one knee.
Escaped?
Yes, he had help, my god king.
I need his soul.
You have the mother?
No. Only when I plunge this blade into his heart will I have my vengeance. Find me the Circadian!
Matthias eats a roasted fish on a stick. The woman who saved him walks up to him.
Cover yourself.
She throws clothes down.
Where'd you dig that up?
Burial mound. The man who wore it did not need it anymore. I am Tala, warrior of Nubia.
What do you want from me?
A legendary king to come back to life.
I'm just a blacksmith.
Blacksmith. That is your story. How did a legendary scorpion king, last of the Arcadians, demigod, become a blacksmith?
Civilization became too uncivilized for me.
I have searched for you for a long time. Your name inspires. It is a rallying cry. My people need a hero to bring peace, a warrior hero.
Like I said, you got the wrong guy.
My father was Balthazar, king of Nubia.
Balthazar?
He lived well, but not long enough.
Sorry, he's gone.
My father told me that you two had a great bond. That if Nubia ever needed an ally, the Scorpion King would ride from the east with his armies and fight with us.
I have no army.
You have your strength, and you have me.
A princess.
A warrior. Do you know Nebzarek, the warlord, sweeps across Egypt with his hordes, enslaving, burning? He wields a cursed sword, the fang of Anubis. No one can stand against him while he possesses it. But legend tells of a way to defeat the sword. The secret is contained in the Book of Souls. It is a hidden text, and I know where to find it.
Sounds like a bedtime story.
Nebzarek marches on Nubia, on my people.
With the Book of Souls, we can stop him.
You're on a quest?
Yes.
Good luck.
You are coming with me.
I don't quest.
Why?
They're always 1,000 times more difficult than you think. And someone will make it back alive.
Tarla throws a knife down with a jackal's head on the handle.
The jackal is Nibzerek's symbol. We share the same enemy. Help me find the Book of Souls, and I will help you kill the owner of the dagger.
Flashback to Kensa pulling her knife.
I'll take both.
She kills Abel. Matthias picks up the knife.
You were born a warrior. It is your fate to fight for those less fortunate souls. Stand or fall, I will fight by your side. I implore you. Remember who you are.
At the camp, Nebsirek looks round as Princess's eagle flies down to them. Princess stares at it with her golden eyes and holds out a gloved hand for the eagle to land on. She gently strokes its breast and studies it. Tala and Matthias ride horses across sand.
This man you seek, Scorpion King, travels with a Nubian.
Princess studies the eagle intensely.
They are close.
Close to what?
Legend tells of a gateway in the Valley of the 13th Moon, where it is said the Book of Souls rests, hidden away from all mankind. He who possesses the Book of Souls has the power to destroy the Fang of Anubis.
These signs have been searched by many hands for many years.
Searched, yes, but not by the Scorpion again.
She looks up at Nebsirek. A snake slithers over a skeleton that lies on an old, dead tree. Two white and black vultures fight over a piece of flesh on the ground. Tarla and Matthias ride across a wide, dusty plain towards the dead, bleached trees, where another skeleton lies on its back. A skeleton hangs from a tree, and a fire burns on the ground.
We should go around.
The Valley of the 13th Moon is a half day's ride away. Going around is a day out of our way.
You don't want to go in there.
I must. We can't be late.
Late for what?
The final day of this lunar cycle.
The moon can wait.
I've waited 36 moons for this rising. Ha!
Ha! Tarla rides on, and Matthias follows. They forge away between blackened tree stumps that stick up out of the white ground, a line of thick, dark mountains behind them. They slow their horses to a walk, and Matthias pulls his sword.
Why are we stopping here, blacksmith?
Put your weapons down.
There's nobody here.
Yes, there is. Drop your weapons now. Forgive her! She can't see!
Who are you talking to?
A huge volley of arrows flies down from the sky and lands all around them.
The black arrows. They weren't trying to hit us. If they were, we'd be dead.
Men, caked in white mud, rise up out of holes in the ground and move towards them with their bows ready. One of them, with red paint on his face, draws back his string, and Tarla drops her spear. Black arrows walk towards them as a group. Muscular bodies painted white, faces dabbed red, dark hair tied back. The chief stares up at Matthias, then breaks into a smile. A camp on the plain, where small white tents stand between the blackened and broken tree stumps, with mountains beyond. Large canopies provide shelter over a central area. The chief cut the hanging pig open.
Told you we should have gone around.
The chief approaches.
You trespass on our sacred lands. And for this, you must die.
We meant no insult.
The territory is marked. You chose to ignore the warning. How did woman, very beautiful woman, fall in with hard vein like this? Tell me.
He's my father's blacksmith.
A blacksmith and a breeder.
He likes you.
Can you cook? Cook? Can you cook?
I'm a Nubian warrior. Yes, I can cook.
I will give you 2 wild pigs and 5 amphoras of pomegranate wine for her.
Yeah. 5 wild pigs and 10 amphoras.
Oh, no, no, no.
I thought you were going to kill him.
I am. But after I do, I will take you for my own. Feed him to the wastelands. He will drink to his death with my wine.
I'm not for sale, and I'm not a breeder.
Yorick, Helena Cullen.
A man whispers to the chief.
The shaman says you are from the land of the east. The Scorpion King is what you are called.
Just a blacksmith.
This is what I said. You are very small to be such legendary warrior. So how do you want it? I can split your skulls with an axe and stick them on a spike. You can burn on a pyre, or I can lash you to a stump. And let the vultures and insects have you.
What is your name, warrior?
I am Uruk, son of Kale, leader of the Black Arrows, and people of the Seine.
Chieftain Uruk. Your people are hunters, are they not? So give me the same chance to live as any beast.
You are not a beast, you are a man.
Yes. I bleed red, like you. And like you, I'd rather die on my feet than my knees.
I will only send 4 men to kill you.
Then I'll make it 5. When this hunt is done, and I'm still alive, you let me keep the girl, and we ride free.
Yorick smiles.
Agreed.
A man in a tree blows a horn. The wooden cage doors are pulled open, and 2 men haul Matthias out, his hands still tied. Tarla watches.
What did I tell you about quests?
Matthias is taken to the edge of the camp. Yorick shoots an arrow a short distance away. He hands over his bow and cuts Matthias's wrists free.
When you reach that arrow, we will hunt you. Run fast, blacksmith, or your death will be slow.
Matthias looks round at Tarla, who watches him from the cage. He turns in a full circle and steps out through the wooden posts that mark the edge of the camp. Yorick shoves him in the back. The Black Arrows stand and watch Matthias, who takes a few steps away, then looks back.
Run!
Matthias turns his back on the camp and walks slowly away towards the arrow. Tarla watches from the cage. Matthias stops a few paces from the arrow and turns to look back. He walks up to the arrow, pulls it out of the ground, and starts to run. Charge out from the camp and race after him. Yorick walks calmly behind them. Matthias runs along a narrow stream in a dried riverbed, littered with small rocks. One of the tribesmen comes down the stream alone, an arrow in the bow and the string partially pulled back. He slows to a walk. An arrow sticks up out of the ground. Yorick walks with another man and kneels. On the riverbed, the tribesman crouches down to cautiously look through some old fallen logs. Matthias's black hair slowly rises up out of the brown water, followed by his forehead and eyes. The tribesman is standing right in front of him. Matthias leaps onto his back and throws him down. When he gets up, Matthias punches him, then lifts him with his shoulder and throws him down again. Yurik listens nearby and stalks forward. Matthias punches the man. Another tribesman walks carefully amongst gray trees. Matthias sits at the top of one of them with the other man's bow and arrow. He pulls the string back and releases. Matthias puts his hand up and catches a knife above his shoulder. He looks round and down as a tribesman sneaks up on him and pulls back his bow. Matthias leaps off the tree and stabs him in the chest. He fights another man and knocks him out with a roundhouse punch. The fourth tribesman and Yurik move quietly between sand dunes with their bows ready. Matthias hides behind green bushes that blow in the wind. Matthias goes down low and crawls slowly through the bushes. With the man on one side and Yurik on the other, he stands up. Yurik shoots. Matthias leans back and dodges the arrow, which goes into the tribesman's shoulder. Matthias runs and Yurik goes after him. As he carefully searches the overgrown dunes, Matthias creeps up behind him and puts a knife to his throat. Matthias and Tala are back with their horses. The Black Arrows watch them, with Yurik at the front.
You are a worthy adversary, Arkady. You could have killed me and my men, as we would have surely killed you. But you chose mercy.
There'll be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy.
Matthias walks to his horse.
5 pigs and some wine. That's all I fetch in your simple mind.
You never taste a pomegranate wine.
They turn and ride away towards the sun. Princess's eagle flies above Nebserek's men as they ride fast across the sand by the edge of a lake, with Kensa amongst them. Tarla and Matthias stand on top of a marbled gray rock. Tarla studies a scroll covered in symbols. She points at a desert beyond the mountains.
There it is, the Valley of the 13th Moon.
Tell me about the Book of Souls.
It is said to be guarded by the Temple of Scrolls. It can only be entered on the eve of the Blue Moon. Once every 3 years on the lunar cycle, that is tonight.
How do you know all this?
My family has been the guardian of this book since before the Pharaohs. Passing it down from generation to generation. No one's been there or seen this book because we've never needed it until now. Before he passed, my father entrusted me with this guardianship. As fate would have it, he didn't have time to tell me much about the book.
And you're sure it's down there?
The prophecy says it is.
So we're just going to ride down there, walk through the front door, and they're going to give you this book.
It's not exactly a door. It's more of a gateway.
Tarla and Matthias ride across undulating white sand dunes beneath a cloudy blue sky. Matthias leads, with Tarla a short way behind him, holding her spear vertically by her side. They ride straight past a square gray gateway standing on its own. Their tracks form a curve as they change direction to ride down a slope towards the stone gateway built into the sand. They pull their horses up in front of it, and Tarla dismounts. Matthias tethers the horses to one side of the gateway. Tarla looks in her saddlebag and pulls out a cylindrical object. Matthias stands in front of the gateway and looks up at it. Tarla walks round behind him and also looks up at it. 4 gray blocks on each side form the columns, with 2 thick horizontal blocks lying across them with engravings.
Doesn't look like a Temple of Scrolls to me.
It's an ancient writing.
The one that repeats its form. Sumerian. Not so different than the language I learned as a boy.
The moon repeats its form every 30 days.
The blue moon repeats its form every 3 years after the summer solstice. We found it.
Matthias walks through it.
We found a stone gateway. In the middle of nowhere. Leading to nothing.
We must hurry. It's almost nightfall. We can't miss the moonrise.
He goes back through and stands with Tarla.
What does your scroll say?
After you pass the moonstone threshold, take 400 paces just east of north.
Matthias starts walking.
This way.
Clouds pass in front of the sun, and the sky darkens as Tarla follows him. Under the blue light of dusk, they walk up a slope away from the gateway and find a large circular stone in the sand with markings around its edge, like a clock face. They stop and look down at it. Tarla plants her spear in the sand.
Why now?
Don't rush me. It's my first time doing this.
Matthias looks around while he waits, silhouetted in the dying light. Tarla pulls out the cylindrical object, which has markings over its body and several glass lenses on the front.
Moon's rising.
The top of the moon rises above some clouds. Tarla inserts the cross-shaped stem of the cylindrical object into the end of the spear and moves it to the middle of the circle.
Let's do this, blacksmith.
She plunges the tip of the spear into a hole in the stone circle, then lifts the four lenses out on arms so they can surround the cylinder at different angles.
The lenses must align with a cipher, a combination.
What is it?
I'm looking.
Matthias reads the encryption on the gateway.
The one that repeats its form. That's the cipher. The one that repeats its form. It's what's written on the gateway.
Tarla turns the gold rings in the cylinder, repositioning the angled lenses. She clicks a button, and a small glass dome pops out of the top of the cylinder. As the blue moon fully rises, its light passes through the lenses and into the dome. The engraved stages of the moon light up above the gateway, and blue lights ripple over its entrance. The curtain of silver-blue light in the gateway moves like liquid. Tarla and Matthias watch it from their sand dune.
Let's go. It won't stay open for long.
Tarla pulls out her spear, and Matthias goes after her as they run down the dunes towards the glowing gateway. Their bodies black in the dark blue light. They step in front of the gateway and admire the strange, silvery blue substance in it.
What is that?
Quicksilver, nature's guard against evil.
Tarla walks forward, the rippling light reflecting over her face and body as she approaches. She stands in front of the gateway and looks up at it. Matthias steps up behind her. Tarla reaches out and gently touches the rippling blue light. Matthias watches her as she pulls her hand out again, and the quicksilver that sticks to her fingers drifts back to the main body in small drops. Tarla steps through and disappears. Matthias shakes his head.
I hate Quest.
He slowly walks up to the door of Quicksilver, hesitates for a moment, then steps through. He passes through blackness and steps out the other side. Drops of Quicksilver drift off him.
Blacksmith. This way.
Tarla leads him down a stone tunnel with blue light reflecting off its walls. They walk carefully on a sandy floor and go down a gentle slope. They pass through a dark, shadowy area and come to an archway that leads into a lighter chamber. They step through the arch into the chamber. Objects adorn a long stone table, and a circular stone stands in the middle of the floor with a disc of light shining on it from above. Tarla walks around the table and picks up a glass ball. She examines it and puts it down again.
Tell me you know what this magic book looks like.
It could be a scroll on vellum, written in codex form. Perhaps a tome. Maybe papyrus book scribbled in burnt bones.
So you're saying you have no idea, right?
Yes. That is what I'm saying.
She goes up the steps to the round stone and holds out her hand as grains of sand fall from above. Matthias stands at the table and unrolls a scroll. Tarla studies the sand, and Matthias studies the scroll. A big dark beast in human form with uneven, clay-like skin swings a mallet on the table and destroys it. It roars at Matthias, then swings the mallet again and almost destroys a pillar. Tarla stabs it in the back.
Ouch! Not fair!
He pushes the spear out and sends Tala flying backwards into a far wall. The beast turns and kicks Matthias across the floor, then goes after him.
Enkidu, enough!
Matthias looks round as a young, slim woman with long black hair, swept back, walks slowly up the steps towards them. Moisture glistens on her skin, and Matthias gets to his feet. The woman gazes up at the beast through big, blue eyes as she walks up to him. Matthias stands, staring at her. She looks at him briefly, then back at the beast.
These people opened the portal with the Lunar Scroll. They are not our foe.
They are armed! One of them attacked me and failing from behind!
I am sure they meant no harm.
I am Tarla, daughter of Balthazar, warrior of Nubia. We have come for the Book of Souls.
Have you?
The woman turns away from Tarla and looks at Matthias. The beast, Enkidu, watches as she walks over to stand in front of Matthias. She tilts her head slightly.
And you've brought a brute. A barbarian. You're Akkadian.
What is that thing?
I'm not a thing!
A golem.
Stupid human!
Enkidu is born from clay, brought to life by magic. My father made him to be my protector.
I have the strength of Tengen!
The woman walks away.
Maybe 20.
Enkidu and Tarla follow her. Tarla stops and looks back at Matthias.
I bet you wouldn't sell her for 5 pigs and some pomegranate wine. Barbarian.
Matthias watches her go. Then he watches as the woman stands behind a latticed screen and puts on a thin robe. Tarla walks warily around Enkidu.
Pretty human.
They stand around the flat, circular stone, which is illuminated from above by blue moonlight. The woman steps out with the robe around her, hanging loosely off her shoulders, revealing her barely covered breasts and navel. She stares at Matthias, and Enkidu watches uncomfortably.
So you've come for the Book of Souls?
Yes. My people are in peril. We need it to vanquish a warlord who leads his army across Egypt. He carries a cursed sword. None can stand against it.
I have nothing on how to defeat a cursed sword.
But the legend says the book is here. You must help us. We are running out of time.
I'm sorry. There is nothing here for you.
The book.
is here.
I have many scrolls, Acadian. Some codices, some tomes. I have read them all, committed them to memory. But I have not a single book.
Tala, what does your scroll say about this Book of Souls?
The scroll says, the Book of Souls is written on vellum of alabaster. The body of its forbidden text is uncovered in the blue light of the moon.
Matthias frowns and looks down at the stone disc on the ground. He looks back up at a hole in the roof above them, letting in the vertical shaft of blue moonlight that shines on it. The woman walks slowly round the room, watching him.
Vellum of alabaster. The body of its forbidden text is uncovered only in the blue light of the moon.
Enkidu! No.
She holds out a hand to stop Enkidu. Symbols light up on her arm.
You.
The woman lowers her arm and steps up to stand in the middle of the stone disc under the shaft of moonlight. She undoes the sheer robe and lets it fall from her body, holding her arms out. Her skin is covered in small markings that shine in the moonlight. Steps towards her.
You are the Book of Souls.
Small, shiny symbols float in the air around her.
Moonlight reveals the text.
Yes. It is revealed on the third moon, in a season of full moons.
7 times in the 19-year metonic cycle.
What's written here?
Names of souls taken by a sword forged in the underworld by Anubis.
Do you know who they are?
Yes. With every soul the sword takes, I can hear their screams, see their faces. Some fates are worse than death.
Matthias looks back at the woman, then lowers his eyes. Outside on the plain, fires burn around old, dead branches and skeletons at the home of the Black Arrows. Princess's eagle stands on a branch, looking around as glowing embers float around it. And there, jackals approach. Black Arrows move quickly and quietly through the fallen trees and gather in front of their camp to cut off the approaching jackals, the firelight glowing off their white, painted bodies. The jackals watch and sneer as the Black Arrows wait, ready to fight. Yuruk stands at the front and faces Kensa, who holds up her hand.
I have no quarrel with you, Chieftain Oryk. I seek the Book of Souls in the Valley of the 13th Moon.
Your jackal bellies are never full, are they?
Whatever the Arcadian paid for passage, King Nebzarek will triple it.
He paid with courage and respect.
Give us passage, and you will be spared. Stand your ground, and I will crush you!
Yuruk bends and picks up some sand.
Your people of the sand. Sand cannot be crushed. It can only change its form.
Kensa raises her hand and signals for the jackals to turn around. They turn their horses and ride away.
You're going to pay for that. That was my favorite table. It's my only table.
Shouldn't have broke it then.
Pity you, man.
My father was a great Sumerian mage. He brought me here before I could even walk. He told me very little about my curse.
You have no idea how to defeat this curse.
The sword was found in King Memtep's tomb, beneath a city called Amonesh. Your quest must take you there. The secret lies within King Memtep's tomb.
All right, then. We will go to Amonesh and break this curse.
First command, keep Amina here. Forever.
Tala lights an oil lamp and reads her scroll. Amina shows Matthias a map.
I hate this puny human.
There is a trade route that leads to the city of Aqaba. There is a port here. You can hire a boat to cross the sea to Amonesh.
Amina likes it.
This life.
He's ugly.
Must be hard to bear.
I have escaped the pain of the living.
Energized.
Yes. It is more a burden than a blessing.
It's got muscles, but they're fake muscles.
Come with us into the world.
There is nothing more I would love than to see your world through my own eyes.
It may have puny flesh.
But I'm afraid that's not possible.
And if I can make it possible?
He's got muscles, but they're fake muscles.
I think I found a short
one. No fire! No fire!
Put it out!
No fire!
Put it out!
No fire!
It's gone. Thank you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
Fire's gone?
Yes. I forgot to tell them.
And I'm still here.
Calm yourself, Enkidu.
Amina goes back to the others.
I hate fire.
Enkidu cannot abide fire. Not even the smallest of flames.
Enkidu punches the wall.
It's okay.
Stay with humans!
Daytime. Princess's eagle flies over the jackals where they stand on the mountain, looking out at the desert valley below.
They are too far ahead of us. We need to split up. There's only two ways out of that valley, and we'll shut them both off. Ride the Silk Road to where the Jewins meet the sea.
We have been riding all night. The men, the horses, they need rest.
You will ride until the horses' hearts stop beating in their chest. And then you will go on foot, crawling if you must, until I get what I came for.
The jackals turn their horses and ride away across the gray, rocky mountaintop, littered with yellow flowers. In the chamber.
Enkidu.
What do you want, barbarian?
To show you something.
Matthias walks away, and Enkidu follows, then stops.
I've seen this tunnel many times. I don't like this tunnel. I've never liked tunnels. It's dark.
Tarla lights a fire.
Amina!
Amina watches him.
Amina!
Amina! We must go! It won't last long!
Amina! Amina!
Amina leaves with the others. Kensa and the jackals ride hard across the sand dunes. The sun shines brightly above the desert. At the stone gateway, Matthias strokes one of the horses. Amina steps out behind him and looks around with a serene smile. Dark storm clouds drift low across the dunes ahead of them. Amina stands and watches them, a light breeze rustling her hair. She looks up at the sun behind a cloud and closes her eyes. The jackals charge across the dunes.
Let's ride!
Matthias pulls Amina up to sit behind him on his horse, and they all ride away from the stone gateway, leaving footprints in the sand. Kensa and four of the jackals ride down the sand dune to the stone gateway, following the trail of footprints that Matthias and Tarla left. stop, and Kensa looks around uncertainly. Matthias and Tarla ride down from a hill and across more sand, then shallow water. Amina holds onto Matthias with one arm as they ride fast along a beach with white waves rolling into shore. Amina stands with her eyes closed, facing the sea. Matthias walks down the beach to her. Tarla stands in the short grass at the top of the beach and watches them.
The horse is arrested and we need to keep moving.
One more minute. The sea is beautiful. I can hear the voices whispering from ancient shores. I can taste the salt. I hope Enkidu will be all right without me. We've never been apart.
How does such a creature have a mortal fear of fire?
Enkidu is clay. The manifestation of fire can turn him to stone.
They both look out at the yellow setting sun. Amina turns to Matthias.
You're an unexpected surprise, Acadian.
As are you, Amina.
Amina gazes at Matthias for a moment. She turns slightly towards him and puts her hand out, running it down the side of his bearded face and under his chin. Matthias gently takes her wrist and lowers it. Matthias and Tarla look round as Kensa's jackals ride up over the top of the dunes with their weapons raised. Matthias runs back up the beach as Tarla walks forward to meet the enemy.
Scorpion King!
Tarla stands with her spear planted beside her as Matthias joins her.
I'll take the two on the right.
That leaves me the seven on the left.
Exactly.
You have a book! My master desires!
I don't read books!
Give it to me, Arcadian, and I give you my word! I will not leave you booted and cleaved! I will give you a death worthy of a Scorpion King!
I've turned down that same offer many times before!
But you are one! We are many!
We are two!
The woman! The woman!
All right, I'll take the three on the right.
Fair enough!
Matthias pulls two short, straight-bladed swords. He and Tarla walk up the beach to meet the charging jackals. When the first jackal reaches them, Matthias hacks the horse's leg, felling it. Tarla uses her spear to knock a rider from his horse, then spins round in one movement and knocks off a second. A man leaps off onto Matthias, who punches him. Two more run at Tarla, and she fights them off with her spear. Matthias kills one, and then another with his swords. Tarla kicks away a jackal, then swings her spear and takes out another's legs. She holds the spear behind her back to defend a sword blow. Matthias kills jackals with his swords, and Tarla takes out another. Matthias kills two more men with his double sword technique, then punches a third in the face. A jackal charges, and Matthias throws a sword at him.
Tarla, get him in out of here!
Enkidu runs along the beach with his large, ball-shaped mallet and joins the fight, sending one of the jackals rolling across the sand. Matthias receives a sword blow to the back. Enkidu sends another man flying up the beach. The leader attacks Matthias, who blocks his blow, kicks him, and forces him down, gripping his wrist. Another jackal comes charging down the dunes towards them. Tarla throws her spear and hits him in the chest, sending him flying off his horse.
I'm gonna
As Kidu takes out more men, Matthias turns and stabs the leader, who looks up into his face.
Well done, Scorpion!
Matthias pulls out his sword, and the leader falls to the ground, and Kidu punches a horse.
Enkidu, no! They're just horses. We don't hurt them.
He nods.
Latakadian! He stole you!
No one stole me. I left. You only have two commands now. Protect me and obey me.
Not like that in your books. Is it?
I don't like it.
Dusk. Matthias, Tarla, and Amina each ride a horse along a ridge, and Kidu follows a short distance behind the group. At night, they sit round a fire, sheltered by rocks. Tarla sits up and stares into the flames. Matthias lies back and studies the scorpion figure, able forged from metal. Amina watches the fire with a smile. The sun rises behind a bank of clouds on the sea's horizon. In daylight, Matthias, Tarla, and Amina ride along the coast. They all stop and look out at a city of white buildings across the water.
Aqaba. A city. So many people.
How do we hire a boat to cross the sea?
Sell the horses.
They spur their horses and ride down a slope. On the shore, people go about their work. Traders cut up fish or hold them up to show them off. A man selling goats tends to them in a wooden pen. Two jackals patrol on a raised walkway above a dusty street. Kensa stands on a wall and looks down, watching the busy market. A man leads a camel through the throng. The jackals on the walkway pass each other. Matthias rides through a stone gateway into the town, his head covered with a cloth. Tarla follows, wearing a cloak. Amina comes behind them in her turquoise dress, and Enkidu comes last, his large form completely covered in a dark cloak.
Don't talk to anyone. We're not here to trade in gossip.
I will not speak to these strange people, because I do not know them, and I have nothing to say.
You, don't talk at all.
I like to talk.
Matthias walks off. Tarla puts an arm protectively around Amina's shoulders and follows. Enkidu walks behind them. They walk past the camel, but Enkidu stops to examine it. The camel puts its face up to his.
Enkidu, no!
You filthy creature! Did you fart?
Matthias and Tarla walk on together. They pass under the raised walkway, and Matthias looks up at Kensa as she crosses above them, unaware of them.
Sell the horses, get to the port, hire a boat, cross the sea to Amanesh. I'll meet you at the tomb.
Tarla goes one way, and Matthias goes another. He steps into a busy, narrow alley with cloths tied across it for shade. He walks through the crowd, where women touting for business smile and grab at him. One woman blocks his way. Matthias turns and walks away from her, but she holds on to his headscarf and it comes off. Matthias hurries up some stone steps out of the alley. Tarla makes her way down another crowded alley. She looks back to check on Amina and Enkidu, who follow behind. Matthias climbs up onto the walkway, exposing himself, and Kensa looks round at him.
Scorpion King. Been looking for you.
Here I am.
He attacks the first jackal, beats him up, and throws him off the wall. In the crowded alley, Tarla looks round as a man climbs up onto another wall and runs along it, followed by another. A third man runs past her, drawing his sword. Tarla spots Matthias fighting up on the wall and starts running. Matthias beats up another jackal and throws him off, then two more. Tarla goes back to Amina and Enkidu.
Amina, I'll meet you at the port. Now wait.
More jackals attack Matthias. He disarms one and throws him down. Another jumps through the air at him with a sword. Kensa raises her bow and takes aim. As Matthias takes down his man, Kensa fires, but Matthias leans back and the arrow just misses. Matthias leaps off the wall onto the walkway. He rolls and runs with the jackals chasing. Matthias jumps off another wall, turns round, and jumps back at the jackals. He floors one with a punch and takes out two more, then runs across the roofs. Kensa shoots another arrow, but misses. Matthias pauses to look back at the men chasing him. He waits for one, punches him, and kicks him backwards. Another jumps down, and Matthias beats him up on the roof. More jackals run at him. Matthias pushes one back against a wall and knees him. Another jumps down and Matthias knocks him off the roof. Matthias jumps down onto a raised walkway to face another.
You're gonna bleed
and you're gonna die.
Down in the market, Tarla runs to a cart with two horses. She jumps into the driver's seat and gets them moving. Matthias and the man fight up on the walkway, but Matthias hits him heavily in the face. The man attacks again, but Matthias spins, grabs him, and holds a sword to his throat. Kensa shoots an arrow, but Matthias spins the man round, and it hits him in the chest. Matthias looks round as Tarla approaches with the cart. Kensa shoots another arrow at him, and he runs. Several of her men jump down to the ground. Kensa runs along the walkway as Matthias runs over the rooftops.
Come on! Stop, man! Stop!
Matthias leaps off the roof and lands in the cart as Tarla goes by.
Come on! Are you in?
I told you to stay with Amina!
And I had to save your life! Again! Men!
White birds fly low over the calm blue sea. A simple wooden sailing boat plows through the water with Tarla and Enkidu sitting in the bow. Amina sits at the back in front of Matthias, who holds the tiller. Back on land, Nebsirek strides through a burning village. People run and ashes scatter in the wind. A man with a bald head and thick black ponytail, wearing a protective leather epaulette on one shoulder, walks towards Nebsirek with some of his men behind him.
Tarka! King! Doctor! Son of Balthazar! King of Nubia!
Nebsirek nods and looks down at his glowing curved sword. He lunges for Tarka. On the sailing boat, Amina flinches as she has a vision of Nebsirek killing Tarker. Nebsirek screams and his eyes glow bright red. Nebsirek turns to the sun and holds up the curved fang of Anubis. On the boat, Tarla sits and watches Amina.
The King of Nubia. He is your brother.
Yes. Talk.
Son of Balthazar. The king warrior. He died fighting for his people. With honor and dignity.
Tarla stares at Amina. Matthias sits in the back of the boat and watches them. Tarla looks away. Then she stands up and walks down the boat, past Enkidu. Amina puts out a hand and stops her going further.
Let me carry this burden for you. For you have much to accomplish on this quest.
Tarla walks past her and sits at the back of the boat, next to Matthias. Tarla looks at him for a moment.
I am the sole heir of Nubia, blacksmith. I am a queen with no kingdom. Now I know your pain.
Tarla turns her head away and looks out to sea.
I am sorry for your loss.
But your choice is a simple one. You can fight on, avenge your brother and your people, and maybe you will die. Or you can turn back now, make a new life for yourself. But when you leave this world, many years from now, give a full account of your life here. What story would you like history to remember?
This is what you meant about Quest.
Waves break as they roll into a beach with land stretching out in front of them. The sailing boat reaches shore. Matthias and Tarla jump out and stand waist-deep in water as they push it the last few meters onto the beach. Amina and Enkidu stand up and get out of the boat. The four of them walk up the beach, Enkidu carrying his mallet over his shoulder. They walk across desert dunes.
So you're the famous Scorpion King?
Someone I used to be.
But someday you may regain your kingdom, build it anew.
There's nothing left of my kingdom.
In Akaba, you saw somebody you wanted to kill. And in killing that person, you'd have likely been killed.
Yes. She killed someone very close to me.
There are many stories about vengeance.
There is honor and payback.
They walk on over the dunes. They walk through a city of ruins in the sand, with two pyramids standing behind them. Princess's Eagle watches.
The lost city of Amonesh.
The eagle takes off and flies away. Matthias and the others reach a small stone building with an open arched doorway. Matthias walks up to the door and rests a hand on the wall as he looks inside. He looks back at Amina and nods, then goes in.
Enkidu, you will have to wait for us here.
I cannot protect you if I'm not with you. And I cannot obey you if I cannot hear you.
But we'll have torches in there.
No flames!
But there's no other way.
I may have another way, but you'll have to trust me.
Tarla lights a torch. Matthias holds one torch as he leads the way through the tunnel, its flames lighting up the walls. Amina follows him, also holding a torch. Matthias steps through another doorway and peers into a small dark chamber. The others follow and hold their torches up to inspect the walls. Enkidu comes behind them.
A tomb. I hate tombs.
Enkidu's blindfolded.
Don't let the fire touch me! Is the fire touching me?
No. It's not touching me. Come, Enkidu.
He puts his hand on Tarla's shoulder and follows her. They light torches on the walls.
No fire! No fire! Don't leave me!
Stop, it's okay. It's okay.
Enkidu nods, crouching in the corner behind a pillar. Matthias examines a drawing engraved in the wall.
King Memtep.
This inscription's just details of his life.
The tomb builders would have never carved the secret text on how to break the curse of Anubis on the walls for robbers to easily decipher. It would have been hidden or concealed in the funerary artifacts.
In the sarcophagus?
No. That's where the sword was found. It would have been separated.
Everything's been plundered and robbed.
Amina lowers her torch.
The Sphinx.
An idol full of secrets and mystery.
A statue of a winged creature.
The guardian of knowledge.
The Sphinx dies for truth. But this is an Androsphinx. The male of the species. Known as the messenger of truth.
Break it open.
Matthias walks across the small square tomb to where Enkidu is crouched by a pillar with his mallet.
I'll get him right back.
Okay, I'll bring it back, I promise.
Bring it back!
Matthias drags the mallet across the sandy floor to the statue. He hauls it up onto his shoulder and swings it down behind the statue, knocking the Sphinx's head off. Matthias puts the mallet down and walks over to look at the broken pieces on the ground. Amina watches as he goes down on one knee and pulls a rolled-up scroll out of one piece. He hands it to her. Amina unrolls the scroll on a stone table while the others watch.
It's a history written in Sumeria.
Yes. These hieroglyphs say King Memtet was beset by enemies on all sides. He called out to the god of the underworld, who forged a sword to steal the souls of his enemies, giving King Memtet strength and power beyond measure. And the king grew terrible in his might, for he was cursed and tormented by the screams of the tortured souls. King Memtet returned to Amanesh to find his royal concubine had birthed a girl child. His daughter's skin bore the names of those slain by the sword. Anubis told King Memtet the only way to end the curse was to destroy the Book of Souls with the sword. It was the god's cruel trick that to save himself, the king must end the curse by killing his only daughter. But a powerful mage saved the girl, stealing her away forever. And King Memtet went mad from the curse, driving the sword into his own heart. So entering his own name into the Book of Souls.
Amina looks up from the scroll.
King Memtet was your father.
The mage I thought was my father raised me as his own. He meant to protect me.
That's impossible. That would make you...
I have lived for centuries. And I will live for countless millennia more.
The only way to break the curse of Anubis is to...
I must be destroyed by the sword. The Book of Souls must be destroyed. And the souls freed. And I am the Book of Souls.
The Book of Souls, hidden in the body of a beautiful woman.
Kensa and her men stand behind them. One blows a dart into Matthias's chest, but he brushes it away with his sword. Another blows a dart into Matthias's neck. He pulls it out and throws it down, but then drops to his knees. Kensa smiles and stands over him. She uses her sword to lift his chin.
Men are simple, aren't they?
Matthias falls forward. Out on the plain, Yurik uses his hands to gut a pig while two of his men look on. He pulls out a large organ and hands it to the one, then looks round and stops what he's doing. A line of horses walk past nearby, between them and the lake. Tarla walks with them, led by a rope with her wrists tied. Amina follows, tied to Tarla and her wrists also bound. Enkidu walks behind them, and Matthias lies unconscious across a saddle.
His Scorpion King.
Nighttime. Clouds pass in front of a gray full moon. In front of a fire, a taut chain leads down from a rock at an angle to a manacle, holding up one of Matthias's wrists. His head is drooped with his chin on his chest, his other arm also held up by a chain. Matthias barely lifts his head and opens his eyes. He is topless, on his knees between two boulders with fires burning behind him in raised metal bowls. Jackals mill about in front of him. Tarla watches fearfully from a wooden cage. Nebsirek and his entourage walk across the open space, lit by fires that turn the rocks a fiery red. He stands in front of Matthias.
I've sedated him.
This is the Scorpion King everyone whispers about.
Legends always start with a whisper.
Princess stands beside Nebsirek, her eagle on a branch nearby. Tarla watches as Nebsirek walks right up to Matthias.
He doesn't look like very much in these chains. Before I take his head off his shoulders, let's see how he fights. Alert me when he wakes from his slumber.
Are you sure this is wise? Kill him now and be done with it.
He's already half-dead, Priestess.
Half-dead men are dangerous, especially a man like this.
The Jackals want to see this great warrior killed in battle. We must satiate their bloodlust. He is weak and wounded, and no match for this sword.
Nebsirek cuts a gash in Matthias' side, and blood drips into the dirt. Enkidu's in a wooden cage when someone walks past with a torch. A prisoner with a shaved head walks up to Tala.
Princess Tala.
She looks round and her eyes widen. Tarla steps over to him.
I'm your queen now. If called, are the men ready to fight?
The men will fight, my queen.
Nebsirek is in his tent with Princess and Amina.
What is this?
The Book of Souls. Written on ancient vellum. Illuminated in the blue light of the evening sun. Such beauty.
So you fought to defeat me by destroying the sword, and with it, my power.
Nebsirek stands up and walks towards Amina, holding the sword.
I see you're a book with a will of your own. Such contempt in your eyes. Burn the bitch.
Princess walks across the camp, followed by Amina and Kensa. They follow a raised wooden pathway past Nebsirek in his throne. The jackals gather around a fire pit as Princess holds her arms up and leads Amina towards it. She stands near the end of the walkway, watching the raging flames. Matthias remains unconscious, with his head bowed. Tarla watches as a drop of his blood hits the dirt, then another.
Rise, blacksmith. Become the Scorpion King again.
We honor the covenant between the god of the underworld, Anubis, and the bearer of his sword. Our god, King Nebsirek!
Scorpions crawl across the rocks.
Here, on this sacred ground, we gather at the sun.
The scorpions crawl down the chains towards Matthias.
Remember who you are, Scorpion King. Demigod, the last Arcadian.
Tarla closes her eyes, and the scorpions start to sting Matthias, each one causing him to jolt. Tarla opens her eyes and watches Matthias from her cage. Matthias stirs and lifts his head, looking out through barely opened eyes. Tarla watches as Matthias begins to pull on his chains. Matthias grimaces, the muscles in his arms bulging as he pulls one chain free of the rock, then the other.
In the prophecies, the Book of Souls shall burn and be thus destroyed. Let no man stand against us!
I am one man!
Everyone turns to look at Matthias.
But one can stand against many!
Nebsirek stands.
For a friend.
A jackal runs forward. Matthias defeats him, and a second.
Calm your blades, jackals.
Nebsarek throws off his cloak.
He's mine.
Out in the darkness, the black arrows creep across the rocks that surround Nebsarek's camp.
How was your sleep, Scorpion King?
I'm just a blacksmith.
I admire a man who stands tall, even when he's overmatched. Time for chanting has not yet come.
Enkidu, it's time.
Your people want
I did not protect me. I failed them.
We have not failed. Not yet.
You stand on the ruins of my people. Broken many years ago by your Arcadian Empire. We were forced to live like jackals, eating scraps to survive. But one jackal was not prepared to slink away and grow old, starving and defeated.
The black arrows climb up the rocks, now in the red glow of the camp's fires. Yurik urges them forward, and they quietly take out the guards.
I dug deep, deep into the sand, and found the one thing that can rebuild an empire. Rule by an eater of souls. With this sword, I am invincible!
Nebsarek's eyes glow a fiery gold.
You fear no man.
I fear no man.
I have faith in you, Enkidu. Show me who you are. This is your time. This is your moment. Amina needs you.
On my command, unleash hell.
Yurik's men light their arrows. Standing on the rocks above the camp, they unleash the arrows, and they fall into the camp. One hits Princess in the back. Nebsarek spins round and watches as she staggers forward and falls to the ground. The eagle flies, and Yurik's men release more flaming arrows. Nebsarek looks back at Matthias, who holds out his hands. Nebsarek charges at him, swinging his glowing curved sword, and Matthias uses the chain around his hands to defend.
You must believe!
I cannot burn!
You cannot burn! Break it down!
Amina, I'm coming!
Enkidu charges through the wooden bars, freeing the other prisoners, who run out to fight the jackals. Nebsarek swings viciously at Matthias, and sparks fly as his blade hits the chains. Talos fights with her spear, and Enkidu launches people through the air. Matthias grabs hold of Nebsarek's blade, but Nebsarek punches him and throws him down. Yurik's men launch more arrows, taking out jackals. Enkidu swings his mallet down on one man. Kensa walks through the battle to take on Tarla. Matthias wraps his chain around the base of the glowing sword and holds it still. Nebsarek yanks him forward and knocks him down. Kensa and Tarla fight each other. Nebsarek punches Matthias and throws him down into the dirt again, then kicks him along the ground until he falls still. Kensa swings both swords at Tarla. Nebsarek holds his sword over Matthias.
Give me your soul, Arcadian!
Never.
Enkidu swings his mallet and sends another jackal flying, then runs over to help Amina. He swings at Nebsarek, who slashes at his clay body with his glowing sword, then holds the point of the sword against him.
Enkidu!
I cannot fail! Let's discard sword!
Enkidu pulls the sword into his own body. Enkidu falls backwards into the fire pit, holding the sword inside him. watches tearfully as the flames engulf him. Nebzarek looks round at Matthias, who gets back to his feet and pulls a knife from his boot. Tarla gets Kensa in a headlock with her spear. Matthias throws his knife into Kensa's back. Tarla releases her from the headlock, swings her spear, and knocks her down. Nebzarek looks back at Matthias, who adjusts the chains around his hands. Nebzarek walks towards him, and they fight hand to hand, hitting each other with powerful punches. Nebzarek knocks Matthias backwards, but he stays on his feet. Nebzarek punches Matthias again and knocks him to the ground. Matthias gets up, but Nebzarek punches him down again, then lifts him off his feet by the throat.
If I can't have your soul, Arcadian, then I will send you to the afterlife.
No, I create my destiny, and I will not die by your hand.
But you will!
Nebzarek throws Matthias through the air towards the fire pit. As he flies backwards, Matthias flicks the chain and wraps it around Nebzarek's neck. Matthias lands on his back on the walkway and yanks the chain, pulling Nebzarek through the air, over his head, and into the fire pit. Flames billow up out of it, and Nebzarek roars. Matthias lies on the walkway and looks round at Amina, who stands unharmed nearby. He sits up and looks back at the fire pit with the handle of the fang of Anubis sticking out of the flames. As Matthias gets to his feet, Amina steps up onto the walkway. The black arrows stand on the rock above the camp and watch as Matthias walks toward the fire pit and looks into the flames at the sword. Matthias steps up onto the wall of the pit and over the flames into the center. With the fire burning in a circle around him, he looks down at the sword, then over at Amina. She stares back at him. Matthias puts out his hand and reaches for the sword. His fingers clasp around its handle. Amina and everyone around the fire watches as he pulls the sword out of the pit. The sword's curved blade glows a pale blue. Tarla watches as he holds it up and looks at it. Yurik and his men watch from the top of the rock. Matthias turns to look up at Yurik, who lifts his chin slightly. Matthias looks back at the sword, then turns to Amina, who nods once. She walks towards him.
Break this curse, Scorpion King.
Matthias steps out of the fire pit and up onto the raised wooden walkway. He and Amina stand and face each other. Matthias shakes his head.
I won't hurt you.
The evil will not rest.
Amina takes a few steps closer to him.
It will come for the sword again and again. I am the sacrifice that must be made to destroy the sword and free the souls.
She walks closer still.
I'm not afraid.
Is there no other way?
Amina shakes her head, the wind blowing her long, dark hair. Tarla stands amongst her people and watches. Matthias takes a step back and holds up the sword with its long, curved blade glowing ice blue. Tarla takes a breath and looks away.
Thank you for showing me your world.
Matthias holds the sword out in front of him, and Amina takes the last few steps towards it so that the blade touches her chest. Matthias shakes his head, but Amina takes a tearful breath and another step forward. Amina and Matthias look at each other as the glowing blue blade goes into her. She steps right up to Matthias and kisses him on the lips with her eyes closed. Matthias puts his hand gently to the side of her head. Amina pulls away, her eyes still closed and a light glowing from the sword. The shimmering letters begin to lift off her skin and drift away. Then her whole body disintegrates into nothing. Matthias stands and watches. Tarla watches with her people and lowers her eyes. A single tear falls from Matthias's eye. Then he opens his hand, and sand runs out of it through his fingers. He rubs his fingers as the last of it goes, and slowly looks up. Daytime. Matthias stands on the mottled gray rock with the yellow flowers growing over it, and looks out at the sand dunes beneath the gray clouds.
Goodbye, Amina.
Matthias turns and walks away. Then he rides through the desert.
History will tell of this fearless warrior who never forgot his destiny again. He was known by many names. Acadian, assassin, blacksmith, and liberator of souls. But the name he made for himself will be forever etched in the sands of time. Matthias, the Scorpion King.
End credits. Directed by Don Michael Paul. Written by David Alton Hedges and Frank DeJohn. Produced by Mike Elliott. Executive producers Stephen Summers, Sean Daniel, James Jacks, and Kevin Mischer. Zach McGowan. Pearl Thusi. Nathan Jones. Won't turn my back again. Gonna stand Katie Louise Saunders. And the spouty of wolves. They say the end may come. Mei Ling Ng. Howard Charles. I won't ever run. Inga Beckman. And Peter Mensa. Casting by Jeff Girard, DiGirolamo. Jillian Hauser, CDG, CSA. Music by Frederick Weedman. Costume designer, Neil McLean. Edited by Vanek Maradian. Production designer, Shane Bunce. Director of photography, Hein DeVos. Line producer, Greg Buckle. Co-producers Greg Holstein, Genevieve Hoffmeyer, Marvin Saban. Unit Production Manager Nicola Unsworth. First Assistant Director John Luke Lorenz. Second Assistant Director Joy Hose. Cast Matthias, Zach McGowan, Nebsarek, Peter Mensa, Tarla, Pearl Thusi. Art Director, Andrew Orlando. Set Director, Michelle Barefoot. Digital Image Technician, Lenzo Mamatella. Sound Mixer, Conrad Kuhn. Gaffer, J.P. Hankins. Crowd Supervisor, Carol Isaacs. Costume Breakdown Artist, Morris Riley. Location Manager, Gray Sinclair. Location Assistants, Fernand Laubscher, Mohamed Hendricks. Special Effects Supervisor, Paul Pieters. Special Effects Coordinator, Tyrell Kemlo. Worktop Manager, Ian Fredericks, construction foreman, Mustaqim Salih. Construction runners, Yusuf Bailey, Grant Smith, stunt coordinator, Anthony Mo Murray, assistant stunt coordinator, Vernon Willems. Fight coordinator, Grant Powell. Prosthetics designer, Clinton Aiden Smith. Set catering, Lynn Matheson. Second unit director, Mike Elliott. Post-production supervisor, Jan Kikumoto. Visual effects by Brave New World. Visual effects producer, Jacques Bach. Visual effects on-set supervisor, Craig Parker. Post Sound South Africa. Supervising sound editor, Barry Donnelly. Post Sound Los Angeles. Re-recorded at Monkeyland Audio Inc. Soundtrack on Backlot Music. Song, Out for Blood. Produced with the assistance of the Department of Trade and Industry, South Africa, who does not accept any liability for the content and does not necessarily support such content. Copyright 2018, Universal Studios. All rights reserved. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.